Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
We could solve Chicago very quickly, but we're going to make a decision as to where we go over the next day or two.
A ramped-up ICE presence and the possibility of National Guard coming, how Chicagoans could react if troops are sent here.
Most Americans will be able to get it from their pharmacy.
The question is everyone who wants it.
And federal changes to vaccine guidelines are causing confusion across the country. We talk with local public health leaders about what you should know. First off tonight, day two of Homeland Security's Operation Midway Blitz is underway in Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker today updating reporters on the latest.
Here's what we do know. ICE is somewhere on the ground here. They already have been effectuating their plans. We have not seen the bulk of those ICE agents yet in communities, but we have seen some. And we know that they are gathering steam, and they have the vehicles. We know they have about 100 vehicles that they are planning to utilize. We know that they're planning more than 200 agents on the ground.
Pritzker met with leaders from the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights to discuss the federal deployments and protecting constitutional rights. We'll have more on the administration's efforts in just a few minutes. Darren Bailey is taking another crack at becoming the next governor of Illinois. As first reported by NBC Chicago, the former state senator is planning on announcing a second campaign for governor. Bailey lost to Governor J.B. Pritzker by 13 points back in 2022, despite getting financial backing from Republican billionaire Dick Uihlein. He is expected to name former Cook County Republican Party Chair Aaron Del Mar as his running mate. Pilsen's El Grito celebration will be taking place. It comes in reaction to Grant Park's El Grito Festival being postponed by organizers last week. Organizers of the Mexican Independence Day event in Pilsen say they're pushing ahead with their celebration despite the Trump administration's ramped up immigration enforcement.
We will celebrate our traditions just like we did this last weekend with no incident. I'm proud to be an immigrant. I'm proud to be a father fighting for our community, and I encourage everybody in our city, especially those who have privilege, to come and support our Mexican community, to come and celebrate with us, and to fight for the world that we want our kids to inherit.
Pilsen's El Grito event is on Monday at St. Paul Catholic Church. The three major Chicagoland food banks are warning the region is on the cusp of another hunger crisis. A new report today from the Greater Chicago Food Depository, Northern Illinois Food Bank, and the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana says one in four people are facing food insecurity, and more than a third of households, that's 1.4 million households, cannot afford the basic cost of living in their county. The report also shows grocery prices have increased 20% between June 2020 and June 2025, and 48% more households are visiting local food pantries and free grocery programs compared to fiscal year 2020. Up next, the Trump administration threatens Chicago with military deployment, but will that curb crime? That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
The Department of Homeland Security's launch of Operation Midway Blitz this week is expected to ramp up the deployment of ICE agents to the city. The Trump administration says the operation is designed to target, quote, criminal illegal aliens, who they say have flocked to Chicago because of its sanctuary city status.
Chicago is a very dangerous place, and we have a governor that doesn't care about crime, I guess. We could solve Chicago very quickly. When you look at what happened to D.C. in a short period of time, honestly, it's amazing. Over a period of 12 days, in other words, on the 12th day, we had the crime just about solved.
But others worry that innocent immigrants and even citizens could be caught up in the immigration operation. Joining us now with more is Professor Robert Pape, political science professor at the University of Chicago, terrorism specialist, and the founding director of the Chicago Project on Security and Threats. Thanks for being here again, Professor Pape, of course.
Thank you for having me.
And we should clarify, you know, the president is talking about crime and violence, but he's also talking about immigration, and these are two different things, except in the instances when immigration and crime and violence collide. Going to come back to that later. How is what's happening or what is expected to happen here in Chicago different from what we've already seen in LA and DC?
Well, let's first start with this. President Trump and the Trump administration is sending Chicago and much of the country down a dark road. I've lived in Chicago for 25 years. I have never met anyone in Chicago who likes the crime. I've never met this defender of crime. However, people in Chicago, and we know this from our surveys of Chicago, people in Chicago do not like the idea of a military occupation, and they don't like the idea of a police state even more. I have been studying political violence for 30 years, and my specialty within that area is military occupations by democracies. Think British troops going to Northern Ireland in August 1969. Think American troops, say, going to Baghdad to suppress terrorism in 2003. These military occupations by democracies often start out with a very legitimate purpose. However, over time, that purpose tends to lead to constraining political liberties and leading to more violence than they actually started with.
So you mentioned your research that you've done for a very long time. You took a survey of 1,100 Chicagoans over the summer, June, yep. July of this year, and you found that 60% of Chicagoans surveyed did not approve of the way President Trump is handling immigration enforcement, especially deportation. 28% said that they would protest, even if violent. 30% agreed that immigrants targeted by Trump are justified in using force to defend themselves. And 37% agreed that the use of force is justified to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. Was this surprising to you? And what does that say about what to expect of the reactions of Chicagoans if National Guard is on the streets of Chicago, is deployed
to the streets? The reason we did this survey was because of L.A. And seeing L.A. and seeing the rhetoric around already in L.A. when Kristi Noem said that the goal here was to liberate other cities, not just L.A., from the failed Democratic leadership, that made it clear that we had to worry about Chicago. So that's why we did the survey. And this is hard data. This isn't just a random phone dialing. This is not three people on the street of an interview. This is with NORC. That's one of the most respected polling agencies on the planet, and a representative survey of the city of Chicago, of its 2.7 million residents. So with those numbers you read, this is hard information. And notice, this is not the picture of a city that is asking for military troops.
Well,
this
I mean,
is
should
the
be,
opposite
how
of
concerned,
that.
Though, should we be that violence could erupt between protesters, demonstrators, and National Guard, National Guard's people?
There are numerous flashpoints. This isn't just a case where there's flashpoints related to the protesters. That's absolutely true. The big picture, though, is that in the early stages of these military deployments by democracies and cities for de-escalating the violence, a lot of times there's a honeymoon period. So it may come as a surprise. The British go in August 1969. Their goal was to de-escalate violence in Northern Ireland. 4 months later, however, that's when the provisional IRA was formed to use violence to kick those British troops out. Basically, what we see is this early stage of a honeymoon period can be deceptive. You can think, oh, it's going well. Let's expand the mission. Well, what's the mission in Chicago? We have a couple of missions identified by President Trump and DHS. Number one, deportation of illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants from the city of Chicago. Well, that's 150,000 people.
And you're right that that could take a very long time.
This could take months, many thousands of troops. We're not even seeing yet the beginning of these operations yet, but if you were to seriously talk about deporting 150,000, 8% of the city, this would probably take a year. This would probably involve tens of thousands of troops.
And to be clear, troops cannot deport people, but they can support ICE agents in their efforts
to deport people. It would be a combined set of operations where you would be focusing on grocery stores. You would be focusing on schools. And you would be doing this in many different parts of the city. You would focus on some areas over others. But just today, we have an ICE helicopter circling up near Evanston, and the residents of Evanston are suddenly very, very nervous. And the reason is because there may well be undocumented immigrants in Evanston. And so what you are seeing is the possibility, even before these operations have begun, to produce fear is already there. We're talking about major missions, and I didn't even mention the crime mission. I used to live in Oak Park. I know about Austin very, very well. So if you're going to go into Austin to actually permanently reduce crime, you're going to need to disarm gangs, disarm people. And this is going to take a lot of time and be very dangerous.
And that is, of course, you know, if the National Guard can be impactful in reducing that kind of community crime that so many Chicagoans experience. But here's Governor Pritzker again from earlier today talking about the deployment of ICE agents in particular earlier.
They have terrible plans for the communities of Illinois. And we're frankly standing up and speaking out and ready to take them to court and do everything that we can to protect the people who live here from what Donald Trump is trying to do, which is to disrupt the country, not because he's going after criminals, but because he has a nefarious plan, frankly, to bring military into cities so that ultimately in the 2026 election, people will be normalized to the idea of militarization during the next election so that he can affect the outcome of that election.
Is this really about fighting crime or something else?
Well, we just saw the courts yesterday with the Supreme Court make a very important ruling here in favor of helping Trump with deportations. And that ruling was really quite stunning because the ruling, 6-3 in the Supreme Court, is that ICE agents are now to essentially racial profile. So it is now the case that if you have the wrong skin color, if you have the wrong accent, if you work in the wrong place, with no other information whatsoever, you can be legally detained. So says the Supreme Court of the United States, which all the federal courts, all the state courts are now going to have to abide by. This opens the door. So we talked about 150,000 undocumented immigrants in the city of Chicago. However, there are 800,000 to 900,000 Hispanic people who live in the city of Chicago. So what the Supreme Court has just said is all 800,000 now can be subject to being detained legally.
Which certainly heightens that fear.
Which is part of the problem I'm pointing out. The missions here, as long as the missions stay very, very small, if we have very small numbers where then this will not be even hardly noticed by the city in a few months. However, if anything close to what the missions are that President Trump is talking about start to even just 25, a quarter of this here, this will seriously impact the city. So this is what we have to be aware of, which is just because we don't have violence breaking out tomorrow, you know, we're an impatient country.
Doesn't mean it's not coming.
That's
in
right.
Several
we're very impatient. We want things to happen tomorrow.
So folks would have to be alert and kind of stay alert.
And also aware. Our leaders need to know their calls, which have been terrific, for no violence here. That needs to happen every day, violence or not.
And
for the next 2 months.
All right. We'll be listening to them in the next 2 months at least if this continues. For now, we're done with Professor Robert Pape of University of Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, what local public health officials are saying about changing vaccine guidance. You might have already noticed the COVID-19 vaccine is tougher to get this year. That's because the Food and Drug Administration tightened the guidelines for who's eligible. The agency now says those who qualify to receive the updated shot must be 65 years or older, or anyone with an underlying health condition. But medical organizations like the American Academy of Pediatrics and even some states are breaking from federal guidelines. Joining us now are Dr. Samir Vohra, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Kiran Joshi, the chief operating officer for the Cook County Department of Public Health, and Dr. Simbo Ige, the commissioner for the Chicago Department of Public Health. Thanks to all three of you for joining us. Dr. Vohra, I want to come to you first, please. Could you explain how these changes to the COVID-19 federal guidelines, what are they and how they're different from previous years?
Well, in previous years, there was, by the FDA, the approval to provide a universal recommendation for the COVID-19 vaccine. And by that, I mean that everybody was recommended for everybody 6 months and older to receive a shot. And then followed by the FDA approval, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices from the CDC recommended that 6 months and older to get that COVID-19 shot. Now, the limited FDA approval that you just mentioned now changes that to say that for adults, those are individuals 65 and older, they are approved by the FDA to get a shot. And then for those that are 6 months to 64 years, you need a particular risk factor, limiting the pool of approval from our Federal Drug Administration around what are the practices around COVID-19 vaccines.
And what's your reaction to this change?
Well, I think part of it is that it's not just this move by the Food and Drug Administration in isolation. It's a series of moves that have happened by Federal Health and Human Services and Secretary Kennedy that have brought great uncertainty and have questioned the trust of a process that was universally trusted by local health departments and healthcare providers. By removing members of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, by seeding doubts about the effectiveness of vaccines, we know that vaccines save lives. It's another place where it is very hard to have that faith that our federal government is using credible, transparent, evidence-informed, and science-based practices to make decisions on what is in the best interest of residents throughout the country.
Dr. Ige, we know that some pharmacies have already begun giving the latest COVID-19 vaccine, but what have you been hearing from the community about whether they're finding difficulty in getting the latest vaccine?
Yes, in Chicago, we've heard that some people have been turned away from pharmacies who want the vaccines because the pharmacies are hesitant to prescribe what we say now is off-label if you don't fall into the category that has been identified by the FDA. And this is the challenge that we have. We want everyone to be able to get this vaccine who wants it. Now, if the FDA says this vaccine is only approved for 65 plus, or if you have a condition, then it means that pharmacies don't no longer have the freedom to prescribe this for people, even if they want it. And this is our challenge as healthcare providers, as public health professionals. If there is a life-saving intervention, if there is a preventative intervention that's available, we want that to be available for everyone who needs it and who wants it.
Dr. Joshi, what do you say to those who are confused and frustrated? They want to get the COVID-19 vaccine this fall, but they're hearing all of this conflicting information.
I would say that first and foremost, all three of our agencies are working closely together to ensure that there's clear information, trusted information, and access to vaccines to all who may benefit. We all believe that science should drive public health guidance. So our message here is very simple. Vaccines are safe, they're effective, and they're the best tool we have to prevent severe illness and hospitalization for COVID specifically, getting the vaccine, even though the pandemic has waned and is over, getting the vaccine is far safer than getting the virus. And most people, putting aside the FDA guidelines, most people will benefit from staying up to date, particularly those at highest risk. And that includes older adults, people with chronic conditions, and those with weaker immune systems.
That said, how does one get it? Where do you recommend they look?
So I think it's important to talk to a healthcare professional. That could be your physician, a pharmacist, or your local health department about staying up to date. Again, if you're at higher risk in particular, don't delay. We are doing our part to ensure that anyone who wants to get access is going to have access. We're planning a number of free vaccination clinics over the next 3 to 4 months at the five Cook County Health Community Clinics in suburban Cook County.
Okay, good to know. Dr. Vora, is the state planning on creating its own policies, as some have had to do, in order to broaden access to the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, the state has an immunization advisory committee. And over the last few months, we have been working to bolster that committee with the state's leading experts in epidemiology, our local public health leaders, pediatrics, OBGYN, immunology, to really understand and better address Illinois data, and then determine what are the best recommendations for our residents. We're planning to have a meeting of this group at the end of September to make recommendations to the state on the guidance that is those things that we're missing right now from the federal government. Credible, transparent, evidence-informed, as Dr. Joshi said, scientifically based, to ensure that we are looking at those recommendations, talking to other states, medical societies, really making sure that we're doing a thorough process to ensure that IDPH, in partnership with our local health departments like Cook County and the City of Chicago, really aligning around the best evidence and ensuring that science leads the way to allow people to get the vaccine that will help them during this fall respiratory season.
And Dr. Ige, we know the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, they're going to be meeting, I think, next week, late next week, to finalize their COVID-19 recommendations. How do you feel about trusting those recommendations, given that the Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has appointed many new committee members who have a history of anti-vaccine views?
Yes, the way we make decisions in public health is through science. So if there is anyone on the ACIP that is not demonstrative of the science or the data that is guiding their decision making, then that leaves us at risk. We cannot follow blindly recommendations that have no scientific basis or backing. So the way public health decisions are made, there are these layers of approval. There are many phases of clinical trials before vaccines are approved. And then there is the advisory committee, with including many people with, you know, the professional qualifications, but they still have to present the data. If you watch the AC proceedings, it is data driven. So now if that is being replaced with conjecture and, you know, other non-proven decision-making pathways, then we have to do what we think is best with the data that we have in Illinois to make decisions that are evidence-based.
Do you feel like you'll be eyeing the meeting a little bit more closely, differently this year than maybe you had in previous years?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. We all are, you know, glued to every word and every process.
Okay. Dr. Vora, I want to pivot to federal funding before we run out of time. What is the latest that you can share sort of about where Illinois stands since the Trump administration has slashed so much funding for state and local public health agencies this year?
We know that it continues to be a huge concern and something that we're monitoring very closely. I think we have been fortunate as through the litigation led by our attorney general, that there has been continued to be sort of an injunction that allows us to spend much needed public health funds. But it's a constant thing that we are monitoring closely. We know the effects that are coming around Medicaid and Human Services based on House Resolution 1 being passed. And so it's another place that we're trying to align very closely with our local public health leaders to figure out how to be as effective and as efficient in delivering our public health services throughout the state.
All right, that's where we'll have to leave it. Thanks to the three of you. Best of luck, Drs. Sameer Vohra, Kiran Joshi, and Simbo Ige. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is our show for this Tuesday night. You can stream Chicago Tonight on our WTTW YouTube channel every evening and catch up on any programs you may have missed. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm that gives back to the community through law and philanthropy.